So he is a professor at the University of Texas. He works in the emergency medical department. He's amazing, geeky, science-based kind of guy who loves all this functional medicine stuff. And he's done functional medicine. He had a little practice at doing functional medicine. Now he's started this amazing lab called Your Labs Online, which some of you have heard about. And he's going to share with us some of the lab work that corresponds with some of this genetic stuff, and what some of that means, and what, you know, what lab tests should be tested for it. So without further ado, did I give you enough? Did I tell you enough about you?
No, that's totally
and he's
fine.
Just cute
totally
to look fine. At. So, totally you know, fine. Enjoy. And he's a sweetheart.
I was listening to that last lecture, and it's literally like I was back in medical school again. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that was pretty in depth. All right, so today, I'm going to talk about just a single test, okay? And it's called lipoprotein A. Some of you might have heard about it, and I just want to make sure everybody knows about it, because as an ER doctor over the course of the last 20 years, I've saved a lot of lives, okay? But today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to intervene and allow somebody to live quite a bit longer just by knowing about lipoprotein A and educating them about the dangers and then giving them the resources and the guidance they need to seek care and get treatment. So my background is that I graduated from Malinda University Medical School about 20 years ago. I've kind of forgotten when. When I turned 40, 8 years ago, I had this epiphany. I was like, wait a second, I'm doing ER medicine and I'm seeing literally more cancer than I've ever seen before. I'm seeing more diabetes than I've ever seen before. And you know, it doesn't take me being an ER doctor to know that, you know, we're all struggling with our weight now. We have obesity and people are overweight, about 70% of our population. And by the year 2050, it's predicted that about 95% of people will be either overweight or obese. And so as an ER doctor, I was seeing sort of the side effects of all this stuff happening over 20 years. And more importantly, I was seeing people coming in younger and younger with that first stroke and heart attack. And I was completely unaware of what was going on. And from that, I had a big interest in metabolic diseases. And so I'm not going to talk about metabolic diseases today. I'm actually going to talk about cholesterol issues. Back in the 1970s, you know, Richard Simmons, I don't know who was around to see him. Yeah, so Richard Simmons, he was exercising like crazy. We're all afraid of fat. We're afraid of cholesterol. And we all turned to this, hey, let's just look at sugar. I'm sorry, let's just do no fat, right? And so if it's no fat or low fat, we replace it with sugar. And so now we suffer the consequences of that as a nation, and that's created this huge, you know, diabetes epidemic. Well, so we see a lot of heart attacks, right? 1.2 million heart attacks every single year. And it turns out that about 10%, just under 10% of those, the only risk factor is lipoprotein A. So I want to talk just about lipoprotein A, but there's a lot of metabolic diseases that we could talk about that I'm really interested in. But today we're going to talk about heart attacks. So this fella, did you guys ever see the NBC's Biggest Loser? Yeah. We used to consult for the show with a company that I worked for called Biophysical Corporation. We would do labs when they first started, and then we would do labs at the end. What kind of labs? We were doing like fat hormones, leptin and adiponectin. We were doing, you know, CRP, looking at inflammation, how it changed over time, looking at their A1C and their blood sugar, fasting insulin and all that. And we saw dramatic improvements as they lost weight. This guy was a trainer. So this guy looks like he's in pretty good shape, right? I mean, he's 51. And he had a massive heart attack at the age of 51, and his risk factor was that he had lipoprotein A. So he became a spokesperson for lipoprotein A, actually. He got out there and he started, you know, doing interviews and such on lipoprotein A and its dangers. So people will ask me, okay, so if somebody has lipoprotein A, how dangerous really is it? Well, we think that it's at least as dangerous and possibly more dangerous than smoking, a long, long history of smoking. So then the next question is, okay, so it's a risk factor and it's a significant risk factor. So then how common is it? Well, it turns out if you look at this map, this is from the Journal of Cardiology here, very recent article, I think it was the start of 2018, this article. It talked about the genetic prevalence. Here in North America, the prevalence is about 20%. That means one out of five of you has lipoprotein A. So I, you know, read this article and I became absolutely fascinated by this because as an ER doctor, I would always kind of wonder, you know, this guy looks pretty good. I don't know why I'm doing CPR on him. You know, he's like 50 years old and he's, you know, Family tells me he hasn't taken a medicine in his life, and he hasn't had to see the doctor, and he looks totally fine. And I also know that lipoprotein A is not covered by insurance. It's not an expensive test, and it's just not covered by insurance. So I got into a little bit of argument with Blue Cross Blue Shield here in Texas and said, I don't understand why you're not paying for the advanced lipid panel. You're just doing a basic lipid panel. And I said it's so important because it measures lipoprotein A and it gives you the subclasses and it really gives you so much more information. Why aren't you doing it? And they said, doctor, it doesn't matter. Just put the person on a statin. So as an ER doctor, I can tell you that 50% of the people that I see with heart attacks have a normal basic lipid panel. Okay, so obviously we're missing something, right? So maybe we're missing inflammation, maybe we're missing, you know, prediabetes and diabetes, okay, maybe we're missing these things. But we are not recognizing the importance of the single molecule, lipoprotein A. Reading this article got me to start testing people, and I began recommending that people get tested. And I just happen to have a direct access lab company where you yourself right now could log on to yourlabwork.com or go through her site, runmylabs.com. And you just go in there and you can actually order it for yourself. You can totally bypass the medical establishment, order it for yourself, and then you'll know. You only need to order it once. So it turns out that all these years we've been fascinated with Asia. These guys, you know, less heart attacks, less strokes, what are they doing? Are they eating differently? You know, what's going on? At the same time, the continent of Africa and people with that lineage, they're having earlier strokes and heart attacks and much more prevalence. So what's going on? Well, if you look at this map here, you can see that if you're from Asia, your chance of having a lipoprotein A is only 10%. However, if you're from the African continent or have lineage from there, your risk is 30%. So I'm really talking about something that's probably known by this community, but not well known by the people that you're going to serve. So my passion is for you to get out there and start talking about it, learning about it, and then asking people just to go through the self-testing process. Either they can go to their doctor and do it, or they can go through a direct access lab site to do it. But now you know the importance of getting it tested. So I started checking people. My wife has it. Didn't know that until I checked her here recently. Her father has it. Our kids have a 50% chance of having it. I don't have it, but my wife does. So there's a chance that our kids will have it. I checked one of my nurses in the office has it because I knew that her mom had a heart attack at age 48. And it turned out that because we found that she had it, we sent her for some advanced testing, a coronary calcium score, and we saw that there was a lesion developing in her left anterior descending artery, which is called the Widowmaker artery, in the exact same spot her mom had had a stent put in after her heart attack at the age of 47. So what I'm telling you is that this is real, and okay, so let's talk about it a little bit. If you have lipoprotein A, what do you need to do? Well, the first thing you need to do is just understand that you're at high risk, okay? So what are you at high risk of? Well, you're at risk of heart attack and stroke and also blood clots. So if you heard of DVT or pulmonary embolism, the reason why you're at risk is because you have an LDL molecule, which is the bad cholesterol molecule, that's super small, super dense, and it's genetically modified to be super sticky. So if it's sticky, it's going to start causing platelet aggregation and the formation of blood clots, whether it's in a coronary artery or in an artery in the brain. And so having a person take a baby aspirin may be something that they'll want to do. Having them be very careful about birth control may be something that you'll want to do. Interestingly enough, estrogen has a protective effect on lipoprotein A. So if you're a woman who has yet to go through menopause and you have lipoprotein A, you need to know that as you go through menopause, your lipoprotein A levels are going to go higher. So therefore, we have to weigh, maybe this person actually would benefit from bioidentical hormone replacement. So we have to remember, everything comes with benefits and risks. We have to sort of think about that. There are a lot of things that we need to look at outside of cholesterol, though. We need to look at inflammation. So we need to make sure their CRP levels are less than 1. We need to look at, you know, sugar. So it starts with insulin resistance syndrome. That moves into prediabetes, and then you finally enter into diabetes. And I don't know if you guys know this, but as you sort of move through this progress of prediabetes, you lose about 50% of the volume of your pancreas and about 80% of the efficiency in which the pancreas works. So by the time you actually have diabetes, you're kind of way behind the eight ball. And that diabetes and that high levels of insulin in the early stages of the disease literally changes the way you make cholesterol molecules. You start to make the more smaller, denser ones. So now you have two problems if you have insulin resistant syndrome or prediabetes or early diabetes. You're actually making more small, dense LDL cholesterol to go along with your genetically abnormal LDL variant called lipoprotein A. That can be reversed if you reverse prediabetes and insulin resistant syndrome. So when you look at somebody who has lipoprotein A, you have to ask yourself, okay, what can I do, you know, to lower this person's overall risk? So I put down some things there. If I found out that I had lipoprotein A, and in my case, it's really easy, right? My wife. So the thing that we do is we do a full biomarker evaluation because we're looking for these things that we can intervene and fix. And then we also want to control blood pressure, and sometimes that blood pressure is easily controlled with weight loss, right? You drop a bunch of weight, you're going to be able to get off your blood pressure medicine, your blood pressure is going to be okay. Maybe the person needs to be on blood pressure medicine. If you're a smoker, that's horrible. You don't want to smoke and have lipoprotein A. I get it. You know, everything in medicine is very complicated, right? But when you're a patient, and in your case, when you have a client who's sitting there in front of you, you have to think of the very simple things that they can do and that are reproducible that'll help them get better. So when we're thinking about lipoprotein A, we have to think about the very simple things of, you know, are you a smoker? Is your blood pressure under control? Are you overweight? Because if you are, and that's contributing to your blood pressure, we got to get that weight off. We got to lower your inflammation, you know, because we know that that's going to be adding fuel to the fire in your arteries. So the idea is we're going to give our client the most information we can in order for them to be compliant. Being compliant is hard to do. All right, so what do we want to do here? So a coronary calcium score for people that are at high risk, if they do get an advanced lipid panel, which I highly recommend, we want to drive down that LDL cholesterol really, really low. We want to get the triglycerides down less than 60, which means they're not eating a lot of carbs and they're probably taking a lot of omega-3 fish oil. Turns out the more omegas you take, the lower your triglycerides will go. Probably freaks some people out in this room that I have people on 8,000 milligrams of omega-3s every day. No, not these people. I'm just like some people. People that have triglycerides in the thousands. Okay, there are people out there that will come in with triglycerides of 3,000 or 4,000 or 8,000. I'm just telling you that the safe threes is very good. In fact, the European Union says it's okay to give up to 5,000 milligrams a day. Here, the US, we think it's 2,000 or 3,000, but most of my people who have lipoprotein A are on at least 3,000 because it will lower it by 10%. So, you know, why not try to lower it a little bit? Also, we want to try to drive down their particle number. So you may say, well, what is particle number? Well, you're not going to know unless they do the advanced lipid panel, which includes lipoprotein A. And then we talk about lowering lipoprotein A. So this is what advanced lipid panel, this is actually a doctor that came through our website. So he logged into yourlabwork.com and he ordered advanced lipid panel because he was curious. And but then he gave me a phone call and he said, oh my gosh, you got to help me. I don't know what's going on here with this LP little A. This is one of the highest lipoprotein A levels that I've ever seen, actually. And so that's the first thing I look at on advanced lipid panel. The second thing I look at is, does he have small, dense LDL cholesterol or is it light and fluffy? Small, dense causes disease more rapidly. Light, fluffy is not so bad. So he has a lot of LDL small there. So I know that he's kind of in trouble, right? Because he's genetically, you know, in a bad way. I know that his kids have a 50% chance, at least, of having lipoprotein A. And then I also know he's got a lot of small, dense cholesterol. So we need to find the reason why. Turns out he actually had impaired glucose tolerance. He was told that his glucose was okay, but it was actually like 105. We did a two-hour glucose tolerance test on him, and he actually was a diabetic because at 2 hours, his glucose was over 200. So by intervening in that, we can actually take his LDL smalls and actually turn them into larges. That's the whole strategy there. As we fix the blood sugar problems, we can actually fix the cholesterol problems. Not the genetic one, but the one that's causing the overproduction of LDL smalls. Another thing you can see here with this guy is his HDL is terrible. What you want to have is a lot of HDL cholesterol. Why? HDL is happy cholesterol. It removes this bad stuff, the LP little A and the LDL smalls from the lining of the artery. The more HDL large you have, the better. And you say, well, why not just any HDL? HDL large is the most efficient at doing it. So again, omega-3 fish oil will increase HDL, particularly HDL large. So for him, he also has triglycerides that are a problem. You can see we wanted it less than 60, and he's at 340. So the good news with this guy is there was so much for us to do that we had plenty for him to work on, right? And then the idea is you come up with a treatment plan that makes sense. And there, again, there's very natural things that can be used for lipoprotein A. In fact, statins are often sort of the knee-jerk reflex of the cardiologist when they see lipoprotein A like him. They'll want to put him on a statin. But, you know, a statin may or may not work. You know, I have one guy who I got down to an LDL of 30. He was another doctor I'm taking care of. So it is possible through good nutrition and other means to bring down LDL, and statins do increase Lp(a) a little bit. So we have to be careful about that. We have to consider it because we want that LDL down very low, but it may not be for everybody. The other thing we talk about is the omega-3s and then, of course, the niacin. Out of all the data out there right now, niacin brings down lipoprotein A the most. You can decrease it by 30%. The problem is nobody can tolerate it. When I say nobody, I just mean me and about 70% of other Americans. And that's because we have to use the flushing kind. The non-flushing kind doesn't work. And we have to use it at such large doses that it causes people to flush. Now, having said that, I have patients with Lp(a) who love to take niacin. It makes them feel warm and happy inside. Okay? So they take it. So that's a, you know, it is a natural thing for them to take. So they take it in a slow release form, so like a slow niacin or something like that, very inexpensive. And if they take it at high enough doses and you measure the Lp(a) over time, it can come down by 30% or so. Then there's some other articles out there talking about carnitine and vitamin C and lysine and proline. The lysine and proline mainly to try to prevent the stickiness caused by this molecule. But the idea here is that you can see almost all of those treatments right there are very natural treatments. But the most important one is education and just knowing about it. Because guess what's coming down the road? Research, right? So there's more research coming out, and they're actually coming out with something called antisense. It's messenger RNA antisense oligonucleotides. And these things lower this lipoprotein A by 90%. That may not come out, you know, this year or next year or 5 years from now. But what I'm saying is that there are things on the horizon to really help the people that are super high risk. The idea that I want you guys to get is this is something you guys can totally handle. Getting people screened, providing them the information on lipoprotein A and how dangerous it is, and then giving them a list of maybe cardiologists in the area or integrative practitioners that you're really comfortable with and sending them to that just won't blow them off and say, well, there's nothing you can do, okay? Because right now, a lot of the cardiologists will say, there's nothing I can do, I'm sorry. You know, here's a statin and out the door. And so you have to be kind of careful about that. But the idea is that there are people that know a tremendous amount about lipoprotein A. So I'm going to give you a resource right now. It's called the lipoproteinafoundation.org. And if you don't believe my stories of people dying young and this guy from The Biggest Loser having a heart attack young, go on that website, the lipoproteinafoundation.org, and watch the videos of all these people in their 40s and 50s having these early events that were running, triathletes, happy, everything was going great in their life, and then they just have this event, and they survived. 50% of the people that have lipoprotein A that present to us die, okay? So we don't get a chance to do much with them, and we don't find that out with them. The other 50% survived. So these are the 50% that survived. The founder of the website, of course, had lipoprotein A, and she's a survivor. So I think the more we know about this, the more we talk about it, the more our community demands more of insurance companies and of doctors to know more and more research and more knowledge, we're going to be able to move this boat down the river a little bit. Because right now, nobody really knows about it. You guys may know about it. So before I get off the stage, I just want to know how many people have heard of lipoprotein A. Okay, this is a very well-educated group. Okay, awesome. Okay, good. So then I'm hoping that I taught you just a little bit about lipoprotein A, and I didn't set you back. Okay. There's a few guys like this in the back. I'm watching him. Okay. Guys, thanks so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Off the stage.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
You have six more minutes, buddy.
I'm sorry. Okay, all right.
So anybody has questions, comments, whatever, let's address it to Dr. Allen. And
how
Okay, yeah. So, you know, you can go to a lot of places. I can tell you right now, the advanced lipid panel on our site is $175. That's the best panel to get because that includes all the lipid subclasses and it includes lipoprotein A. So I always kind of tell people, if you haven't had it yet, you should get an advanced lipid panel. Clients can easily order this because their insurance doesn't cover it, and it's much, much cheaper than it would be for them if they just, you know, got a bill for it from, say, Quest or LabCorp or something. By the way, if I don't know if people know about this, but all of you are invited to be affiliates for yourlabwork.com, which is where our message really is to health coaches and so on, people that are really out there, you know, online and dealing with people person to person, is that we want to support your practice.
Yeah.
And so we've kind of made a business decision to support health coaches and everything you guys stand for. And I've had some companies refuse to work with me because I've told them that. And they said, you know, we don't think there's anything to that. And I say, well, I'm sorry, it's not going to work out because that's not the direction we're going to go. I have a very passion to educate health coaches and provide them with a ton of resources to add value to their practice. So if you guys want to affiliate with us, and Rita Marie can tell you how to do that.
Yeah.
And if you affiliate with us, the idea is that then you use your affiliate code and you'll actually get money back from ordering, even for yourself. The other companies don't do that. They just do it for the people you refer. We actually give you guys a discount as well. Mm-hmm. But it's an affiliate model.
Yeah.
On the flushing niacin,
yeah.
Do you recommend a certain brand? Do you offer it yourself? Where do we go to look for that? Because I've looked at niacin before, and I'm not sure I've ever seen that word to know.
Yeah, so you want to have the slow release niacin. So there's basically two types. There's Niaspan, which is sort of prescription, written by a doctor, very expensive. I don't know, $300 a month or some ridiculous thing. Or you can just try slow niacin, SLO niacin, and they can get that pretty much anywhere over the counter. I always start with the slow niacin, and I see how people do. And they can take their baby aspirin, you know, 30 minutes prior to taking that first dose of niacin. And sometimes it's helpful to start them out low, because again, you want to get to at least 1,500, sometimes even 2,000 milligrams a day. So you're going to start with just, and you got to watch blood sugars when that happens. I know.
Yes.
I heard it's like, oh, blood sugar. Yep. Okay, yeah, I know. Yeah. So the thing is, that's what you're balancing, right? So if you give real high doses of niacin, you can actually increase your blood sugar a little bit. Okay. But so the idea here, though, if you're going to use niacin, then you start out at 500 milligrams a day and you do that for a week. And then you go up to 500 twice a day for a week, and then you go 2 in the morning, 1 at night for a week, and then finally 2 and 2. Kind of like we dose metformin. I don't know if I can talk about metformin.
We can talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's
kind of like the slow, gradual way that I do it. And I'm still telling you that it's very frustrating because even though we do these sort of fancy things, 70% of people still just don't tolerate it. And I, for one, didn't tolerate niacin. I tried niacin just to, you know, try it out at high doses. My wife's tried it, hated it. She looked red all the time. Thought it was embarrassing her. Yeah.
Yeah.
The significance of it? Well, it's not serious. You know, it's not an allergic reaction. It's just a phenomenon that naturally occurs in some people. And so I don't really worry about it too much. But they're not going to be able to take it. So. It's just like anything else, you know, if they're not able to do it and you're not able to easily reproduce it, then your client's not going to get a good outcome. Here's the thing in medicine, man. I'm telling you this from taking care of thousands of people. Simplify your approach to everything. So you're getting in all this great information, and it's your job to synthesize it and put it down into something, and I'm sure Rita Marie is going to help you do this, put it down into something where you can actually reproduce this over and over again for people, and most importantly, have them see the value of it. Because if they don't see the value of it, they're not going to do it. And this is where we do a horrible job in conventional medicine. We write a script, see you later. We never tell you what the script is. We don't tell you what it's for. We don't tell you what the side effects are for. We're not telling you what we expect when we write you the script. We just hope that you'll take it. And that's why 30 to maybe 50% of scripts are never even filled or taken.
Mm.
Written. Wow. Written by an ER doctor. Oh, you're going to die unless you take this. Oh, okay, whatever. Is sauna helpful?
Yeah.
For lipoprotein A, it hasn't demonstrated anything in the study.
She asked if sauna was helpful.
Yeah.
For the
live stream. Frankly, I've never seen a study on it.
Yeah.
So
Dr. Hopkins?
Back here, down here.
I I just want to tell you, I wanted, one of the reasons I came to this was to, because I knew you were going to be speaking about this, because I'm a nutritionist, and early on this year I asked my doctor to check me because of my brother's, all of a sudden after he turned 56, he's a pretty good, he's in well shape, he watches what he eats, he had almost a stroke. Mm. I take care of myself, and I after my menopausal, three years, I've been having some symptoms. I wasn't too, even though I watch what I do. So I asked for this because I heard about it. And
do you have
I
it?
I do have it.
You do?
Very high.
Very high.
That my heart specialist, I asked to see a heart specialist, and he's not doing anything much. All he said is, watch your, fats, watch your, diet, do that sort of thing, right? I don't have high triglycerides. I don't have, all these other cholesterol factors. I do have high HDL, which is probably a good thing, right?
Very protective, yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, the niacin I've tried at one point, but I can't. I guess I'm just really sensitive. But my question is with the SNAPs, what am I looking at? Like you said, increase your fats, but I think I don't have all my SNAPs, and what if I'm not I can't digest fats properly, because I think I do have that problem because of how I feel when I eat specific fats, right?
So I'm going to just take a step back for a second. So first of all, you've been told you've got a disastrous family history of somebody early in your family. Now you know about it, yet you haven't had an event, okay? You yourself asked for the test even though nobody wanted to do it on you. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Okay, that's awesome, okay? Because the power was put back into her hands through the power of the collective education, okay? And that's really what we want to do, is we want to be able to have a person sit there and ask these questions to their provider and say, why don't you want to do anything about it? Well, it might turn out that your CRP is less than 1, your fasting insulin's really low, of course you don't have prediabetes, your HDL is super high, and maybe on your advanced lipid panel, everything else is super favorable. Maybe you're taking omega-3s already at 3,000 milligrams a day, and maybe you're on a baby aspirin, and maybe that's anybody thinks you need to do right now. Maybe they've already done a coronary calcium score and your score is 0. The idea here is that there's a lot of little things that you can do. And so, I'm happy to talk to you more. I'd love to see your advanced lipid panel. If you have it, you're welcome to send it to me and I'll look at it and give you some of my thoughts. But the idea here is that that's what I want everybody to do. I want everybody to know and to start asking questions and to demand of their cardiologist, hey, what are we going to do about this? And I'm concerned.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have a question from the live stream.
Quick question, because we're out of time and we don't want to get...
Somebody thought that there's a few people on here who thought regular niacin vitamin B was better for flushing. Regular niacin.
Right, that's what he's talking about, flushing niacin, as opposed to niacinamide.
You can't. You have to get it at super, super high doses. And the problem is you're not going to be able to do it unless you use a slow-release preparation. And still, even if you do it, you're going to likely have, some flushing. And I'll just tell you, if you're one of the 30% that don't, that's what moves the needle the most. So if you have niacin, that'll bring down 30%. Omega-3s in the right dose will bring it down another 10%. Now you're down 40%. Mm-hmm. So how high above normal were you? And by the way, the bad news is light protein fluctuates by 15 to 20% depending on when you measure it. Okay? So if you're just slightly above baseline, like my wife, I don't worry about her too much. But if you're somebody like that physician who's super duper high, you're going to worry about them a little bit more. If your coronary calcium score is high, you're going to really worry about that person because they've already laid down a bunch of plaque in their arteries. If your coronary calcium score is 0, you're on a better road. But the idea is people are thinking about it, they're talking about it, they're enrolling their care team in understanding it and learning more. Yeah. How do doctors learn more? How do good doctors learn more? Good doctors learn more from listening to their patients. So that's what you guys can do. You can educate your doctor, and if the doctor is a good doctor, they'll say, hey, I don't know about that. Let me read about it, and they will go read about it because doctors don't like to be embarrassed, right? I've been embarrassed many times, by the way. Especially one day I showed up at the hospital with 2 different shoes on. I had literally had one one brown shoe and one black shoe, and the nurse pointed out to me like halfway through the day. So embarrassing.
Oh, great. Can you mention just in the calcium score, how do they get that? Tell them they get that and how they get it.
So if you have lipoprotein A, most people believe in the first non-invasive test. And a good non-invasive test right now that cardiologists are using is something called a coronary calcium score. does provide a little bit of radiation, but not a lot. And what it does is the technology has gotten so good these days with CAT scans. They can literally do three-dimensional reconstruction of your coronary arteries, and they can actually look and see how much calcium. And they see calcium. Calcium is sort of a byproduct of plaque. And so you'll see the calcium, and they have a way of scoring it, and it's gotten nothing but better and better and better. And I'm telling you, I use a lot of CAT scans at the trauma hospital, right? And the CAT scans over the last 20 years are just amazing what we can do and what we can see internally. So that's kind of the first step. You want to see it with your calcium score. So if I, you know, if I were you, I would get a coronary calcium score, make sure it's zero, and then I would, you know, 100% be talking to everybody in my family about getting checked.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. If you have, you know, people, your clients that have early heart disease in their family, they got to check it. In fact, one of the pediatricians told me this at Stanford University at the hospital there. When a kid comes in with a stroke, very unusual event, lipoprotein A is one of the things they check. It's very rare for that to happen, but that's the significance of this, okay? So
yeah.
People don't know about it. It's your job to educate people, and that you can
Absolutely.
Always, if you need more information on this, lipoproteinafoundation.org, or you can look me up. I have tons of videos on this, and I've got a lot of information on it that I can send you. You actually have a lot of these PowerPoints that I did
yeah.
that you can, you know, share with them.
I can. Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And I will say that runmylabs.com, we set up a shortcut to get into, and you can sign up as an affiliate, and you'll be able to get access to a site where your clients can go to order these tests, right? And then you'll get a commission. So.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So we're going to go into a break now. Want to make sure you have your full time for the break. And was that awesome or what? Right? Awesome stuff. Easy test. I think it's $25 for just the LPA and $175 for the whole thing. I highly recommend that you get the whole thing. I'm going to get it. I ordered the tests already. I'm going to be getting it soon. Oh, it does. It gives you the particle number, the size, the buoy, you know, all that. The LDL, the two different kinds. Yep. And the HDL. Yeah. It gives you all that. It's worthwhile doing, especially if you've never done it and you have any family history. Like, I wish my mom and dad, I have a feeling I have that. And I need to, you know, just be careful because they died really young, right? And if you have any people that have had strokes or heart attacks young, then that's a good thing to do. So we're going to get back in about 15 minutes, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
So 15 minutes. What time will that be? 5:52? We're going to come back at 5:52. You want to come in for the raffle, come a little earlier and make sure you get that. And we'll see you in a bit. We'll wrap up, tie it all together, and then we'll let you out of here. All right.